Welcome to Spokane Talks, where you'll find the latest in community news, views, and conversation. Now, join your host to hear what Spokane's talking about.
Hello, and welcome to Spokane Talks on Fox 28. To start off the program, Ken Adams sits down with Greg Green from Fatbeam, a company who is bringing fiber internet to smaller towns. Next, from Library Out Loud, Jane Baker talks with Morgan Larson and Gwendolyn Haley. Following that, from Youth Spotlight, Miranda Reed talks with Noel Fries. To wrap up the program today, we have a few highlights, one from The Pulse and the other from Business Talks.
This is River Ridge Frame Shop, called Frame It Today, where we can take your art, customize it, and get it ready to hang on the wall. Here at River Ridge Hardware, 2803 West Garland.
Well, welcome to a little segment from Business Talks, and I'm pleased to have Greg Green here, who is with, I'm not calling you names, Fatbeam, okay? And tell me, Greg, you have started and sold a number of businesses in the Spokane area, but you're no longer just Spokane,
correct?
Are you?
Yeah.
What is Fatbeam? Let's start with that.
So Fatbeam is a company that builds fiber optic networks,
okay,
that delivers it to schools and hospitals and markets essentially under about 150,000 in population.
Okay, outside of the what I would call the metropolitan,
exactly,
the cities.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
So we, you know, I grew up in Coeur d'Alene. I lived in Spokane a lot of my life because you and I were familiar with one another. I always wanted to build my last company in Coeur d'Alene.
Okay.
So we're headquartered in Riverstone. We're in 40 markets across the United States.
Wow.
So we're in seven Western
today.
States. Today.
Because I know you well enough now to know that that's not where you're going to stop, is it?
Probably pretty accurate.
Yeah. So that was a yes.
That's a yes, yeah. Okay. So we essentially, you know, build these out these communities, and typically what you find is they have a phone company and a cable company.
Yes.
But it's almost as like going back in time. I mean, Spokane's been built a couple of times by myself and then others.
Right.
You've got Seattle that's been built with fiber 10 times.
Yes.
But you'll go back into some of these small communities, and it almost looks like pre-regulation, regulatory, like, you know,
even maybe dial phones.
Well,
you know.
Old, so I mean, and there's self service and things like that. But when you're looking, when you're a business or a school, and you're looking for a high capacity fiber network for wide area networks or internet, you know, the competition and the pricing, you know, they're just not there. And so when Fatbeam's enters a market like that, we sort of shake it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's good for economic development. So
absolutely,
they bring other opportunities
right
in.
Yeah. Right. I found it interesting when you talk about the cost of laying the fiber.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's $50,000 to hang it from what we would normally see, like the telephone company and everything else that we've seen all of our lives.
That's correct.
Cable companies, you name it. But when you put it underground, it goes from 50,000 to what?
100,000. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
That's serious money.
That's serious
per
money.
Per mile.
That is correct.
Okay.
Per mile.
And
per
if
mile.
You're out in hinterland, you have to get out there to start with, not to mention from
very
farm
expensive
to farm or little
yeah
community,
yeah,
and, you know, those kinds of things. So,
It can be very costly. In fact, in California, we've run into some basalt, you know,
okay,
where it's 150,000 because you're drilling through rock to get to.
I think we have some of that up on the South Hill.
We do.
Yeah, yeah. And Vic, some of them have left it in their front yard, you know, and so forth. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. And I want to learn more about what you do and the number of fibers when you talk about fiber optics.
Wonderful.
And all that right after this.
This is River Ridge Frame Shop, called Frame It Today, where we can take your art, customize it, and get it ready to hang on the wall. Here at River Ridge Hardware, 2803 West Garland.
Well, welcome back. Greg Green, Fatbeam is
thanks
the company,
having
right? You know, we talked about this on the Business Talks program we did, and I had envisioned what this fiber looks like,
mm-hmm,
okay, that it was this flexible glass or plastic or whatever it might be, and that you're sending things through. But it's a little more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's quite interesting. The, you know, it looks a little bit like the old coax cable
to
your house
yes.
through TV. But in that cable that looks about the size of the coax, is in our case, like typically we start with 144 strands in a market, depending on the size of the market. And each one of those strands of fiber is like the size of your hair. And you can take one piece of fiber and you can have, you have a laser that shoots through it. But the laser can have multiple colors. So you can really get a tremendous amount of capacity out of the fiber optics. And you think about the uses for that today. Of course, telephone calls come to mind because we deliver fiber to cell towers for certain carriers.
Internet connection, obviously.
Internet connections. Radiologists will send an image from one location to another across the country. You know, school districts will do distance learning. I mean,
are you sending video through?
We do send video through. And there's a lot of times, this is sort of interesting to us, a lot of times we are not even certain the uses. If we lease fiber to a carrier, say, from Montana, they may be broadcasting it from another city. We're not clear. So it's really sort of fun. We're pretty excited about the company, the opportunity, and its future.
And you did all of downtown a few years back, a couple of times.
Yep, I have a couple of times. The old NextLink XO Communication days with Craig McCaw, and was the CEO of Vista Communications. That was a great run.
Yeah,
and that was the days when every utility wanted to be in the telecom space.
And did they get out of that?
They did get out of that. You know, they kept the amount of fibers to operate their
what
business.
They need,
what they need.
Because everything is internet-based.
That's correct.
Exactly.
Yeah. All their substations, it's necessary to have that. But, you know, that's another great company to interview because the opportunity for Spokaneites, if I've said that correctly, to have those great jobs in this community with the headquarters, I love that.
Yeah, and I worked there for 13 years.
That's right. I forgot about that. 30-some
years ago. And I remember my first day. You know, it was the old dial phone or kind of thing.
Yeah. And I said Ma Bell on the bottom.
I mean, the world has changed.
A little bit.
We can carry that phone around
today
and talk to anybody in the world.
Check the weather, the stock market.
And it's not just the cell site because you're getting the information to that cell site through fiber optics, right?
That's correct.
That's wonderful.
It's a great, great business. We're really excited.
Well,
about
you're going to retire next year, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, right. I don't think you're ever going to retire, okay? Let me warn you about, no, I'm kidding. Greg, thank you very much for what
you're
doing.
Thank you for
having me.
Thanks
for explaining it because a lot of us didn't know all of this.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for watching.
This is River Ridge Frame Shop called Frame It Today, where we can take your art, customize it, and get it ready to hang on the wall. Here at River Ridge Hardware, 2803 West Garland.
Welcome to Library Out Loud. I'm Jane Baker with the Spokane County Library District. Joining me today, Gwendolyn Haley, our Public Services Manager. Thank
Hello.
You, Gwendolyn, for being here.
Glad to be
and
here.
And special guest is Morgan Larson with the Central Valley School District. Morgan is a teacher librarian.
Yes.
We know Morgan. Well, first of all, thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Last year, there was some funding issues with school districts, and we heard about a lot of librarians being laid off or reassigned or whatever, and luckily, you were not one of them, but that was also one of the reasons that we wanted you to come in today to talk about the school library and school librarians and how important that is. And just before we got started, Gwendolyn, you were making a comment about how important it is to have a school librarian as a public librarian.
Yeah, in order for us to be effective in our work supporting students and families outside of school, I need someone like Morgan in the school who's there and knows the curriculum, knows the students, and can let us know how we can be doing a better job and what we need to be providing for students out of school time.
That's a great connection. Plus, there is also a partnership. How do we work together?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for one example, you know, we have students, and students read. Surprising. And so we also have students that reading a paper book or reading the print word is very difficult. And, you know, our dyslexic or dysgraphic students. Library budgets are relatively small comparatively. And so this is where we lean into the public library system to support. So if I have a student who, you know, it has a wish to read a book, they can check out an audiobook either through the digital services or even something like a Playaway, which is a small digital device that they can listen to the book. And, you know, that is critically important.
Yeah. Working together, and you mentioned, like, if a student starts a book and they can't take it home from the school, that you could check it out at the library and extend some of the library services that are provided in the school. That's great. But there's more that goes on in the school library. We know that there's more than books. It's good to hear that students are reading, because yes, people do read still. And especially good about the students. But there's other exciting things that are going on at the library as well, and some of the programs that we work on together. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about some of those programs here on Library Out Loud. Be right back.
This is River Ridge Frame Shop, called Frame It Today, where we can take your art, customize it, and get it ready to hang on the wall. Here at River Ridge Hardware, 2803 West Garland.
Welcome back to Library Out Loud. I'm Jane Baker with Spokane County Library District, and we're talking to Morgan Larson with the Central Valley School District, teacher librarian, and also Gwendolyn Haley, our public, one of our public services managers. And we're talking about the schools, libraries, and the public libraries, and how we work together. One of those ways we work together is a program called Leap into Science. It's kind of a big deal at the public library this spring. We're doing a lot of leaping on this leap. Year. How do we work together with the schools?
Sure. Well, I can start with that. Well, so Washington State is one of the first states to participate in the Leap into Science project, which was the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia. And it's basically a way to train local educators in science and literacy curriculums, and then they can do workshops with children and families. And so I'm part of the leadership team for Washington State, so I've been providing these trainings. Morgan came to one of them, and then she's able to take that curriculum and use it in her school.
Right.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And then support, you know, elementaries within the district, which is a great opportunity, and again, would not be possible without our collaboration.
So there's some training that goes on, and then the sharing of resources.
Yes.
Okay. For example, the WIND program, you said that was at the school now, and we have it at the library
as well. We'll be doing it during Leap Week, the last week of February.
Yes,
Yeah, and then we'll be offering a training later in May in the light and shadow. And then, of course, Morgan and I can trade resources back and forth. And, you know, sometimes that was kind of a grant project. Sometimes there's grant opportunities where we can partner together, and the public library and the school library and the students benefit, whether it's, you know, like a Big Read grant or something else. And a lot of those are coming from LSTA funds and the state library and organizations like that.
The school library has come so far.
There's so many cool things that Morgan's doing.
Yeah. It's, like I said, when I was younger, that's where you went for detention. But now it sounds like I loved the library. But now it sounds like it's the place to go. There's hands-on experiences happening. There's assistance in different curriculums and things like that. And then if there's something in the school or not in the school that the student needs, you are able to help point them out to the public library and the assistance.
Absolutely. And again, it's that constant communication with the public library that makes those things possible.
That's great. So we're hoping someday to work it out so that all students get the library card automatically. But in the meantime, they can come by the library and get one anytime.
Yeah, it's really easy.
Absolutely.
And free.
Morgan, thank you for the work that you do at the library. And there's so many important things happening. We do want to take a quick moment to remind everyone to vote.
Yes.
Central Valley has a levy on the ballot this spring, so vote by February 11th for that. Again, thank you for the work that you do for the kids and the school district and the county. For Library Out Loud, we'll see you next time.
This is River Ridge Frame Shop, called Frame It Today, where we can take your art, customize it, and get it ready to hang on the wall. Here at River Ridge Hardware, 2803 West Garland.
Hello, I'm Miranda. Welcome to Youth Spotlight. Today we're talking with Noelle. Noelle is very involved in plays and dancing. What would you say is your favorite play that you've ever been in?
I played Mary Lennox in The Secret Garden, and that was just an amazing experience. So, yeah.
And then where did your passion for plays come from? What kind of got you into all these plays that you've done?
When I was 7, I auditioned for Les Mis at Spokane Civic Theater, and ever since then, just the amazing people and the amazing experience, I've just fell in love with it, so, yes.
Nice. And what would you say is, you also, I heard, doing commercials,
mm-hmm.
and I heard that you were in Fruity Pebbles.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that. What's kind of, what was so fun about it?
I got to zip line out of a window. I got to eat Fruity Pebbles. There were a ton of people there, and there were like 100 people in the cast, and it was great because they were all just doing like flips, and there were so many colors. It was so colorful, and at the end there was a big confetti explosion, and the music was playing, and it was just, yeah, it was super fun. Great experience.
And that commercial, a lot of your friends saw it, I
mm-hmm.
heard,
yes.
so you were,
uh-huh.
went back to school, and everyone knew your name and was like, yeah. oh my gosh, that was you.
yeah. Yeah.
Nice. And what other plays have you been in?
I was in Fiddler on the Roof. I was Little Red Riding Hood in Into the Woods at SVST, and that was a great experience. That was probably one of my favorite roles. And then I was in A Christmas Carol, A Christmas Story. I did A Christmas Story at Civic, and A Christmas Story at the INB for the local. There were two local girls chosen, and I got to be in it with one of the fun girls. So, yeah. It's really fun.
Sounds like a lot of fun,
yeah.
for sure, yeah. So, and then you're also our drill team captain at your
yes.
school. So
yes.
what does that entail? How does that work?
It involves a lot of leadership, organization, how to lead a team of girls, and how to speak, how to present yourself, and be organized right when you walk in, so that mm-hmm. way you're not, you know, I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, and choreographing the dances. It's mm-hmm. all student led, so we choreograph them, choose the music, everything, lead them on. So yeah, that's really fun.
And would you say that your passion for drill team kind of came from dancing?
Yes, most definitely.
And how long have you been dancing?
I've been dancing since I was probably 6, so maybe 6 years. Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time. You definitely have a lot of skills from there.
Yeah.
What would you say was the biggest thing that you've learned throughout all of dancing and plays and everything?
Hard work, perseverance, be bold, be brave, be you, just be yourself. And yeah.
For sure. Okay, well, thank you for telling us a little bit about that, and we will be back in a minute.
This is River Ridge Frame Shop, called Frame It Today, where we can take your art, customize it, and get it ready to hang on the wall. Here at River Ridge Hardware, 2803 West Garland.
Welcome back. We are talking to Noelle about all of her acting and different experiences that she has. I also heard that you were on Z Nation.
Yes.
How was that?
That was an amazing experience. It was my first TV show experience. And I played Harper, a co-star, in the episode Batch 47 in season 2. And I was a sick little girl. And in the show, if you die, you become a zombie. And they found a cure in the episode, and I ate the cure, so I didn't become a zombie at the end. Spoiler alert, I died, but I didn't turn into a zombie, and that was just an amazing experience. You know, I got there, I got to see all the zombies and their makeup, and it was very real, it was very scary.
I could imagine.
I was like, I know you, but I don't know if I know you. and the makeup ladies did my makeup, had to make me look really sickly. It took about an hour. That was a great experience. And just being in front of a camera was awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, a little different than some things that you've done in the past.
Yeah, and I didn't have to be like happy and all promoting something. I had to be dying
sick.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That would be an amazing experience. Just kind of being in that atmosphere of a TV show and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even imagine. Like, I know that they had extras play in that show. I don't even think I could do that.
But
yeah. Nice. And so in different plays and stuff, have you had to play roles that you weren't necessarily comfortable with?
I've been comfortable with all of them, but I've had to play a couple of, you know, out of the box roles. I've played a boy several times. I was a pickpocket in Oliver. I played Tiny Tim in A Christmas Carol, and Chip in Beauty and the Beast. That was interesting because I had to be in a box in a little cart, and Mrs. Potts would like roll me around with a big teacup on my head. So that was fun, interesting experience, but you know, I'm glad I experienced it. And I had to play Tonga in Sherlock Holmes. So yeah, I've had to play a couple boys, but yeah, that's been fun. Yeah.
That sounds really fun, especially the teapot one. I don't know why that sounds like that would be kind of fun. But. Wow, okay. And what would you say was your most out-of-the-box performance that you've had to do?
Probably Chip. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just in this box, and it's like a small box, and you're sitting on this pillow, and you have this big thing on your head, and so, yeah, and you'd have to talk in like a big squeaky voice. But yeah, that one was probably the most out of the box. You know, I was in a box.
That's very ironic. So with all of your acting and everything, what's just like one final takeaway other than hard work that you kind of have that you want to keep with you and continue?
The people. They're just down-to-earth, amazing people that I want to keep in my life forever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. That sounds really nice. And thank you so much for sharing your time with us and telling us about all of the cool experiences that you've had. And thank you, everyone, for watching.
Very small and humble and, a lot of alone time for the first couple years. But over the course of the last two decades, we've grown a really good business. We have over 40 people on staff in Spokane.
Wow. Okay. Congratulations. Then,
yeah,
that's good.
It's a good thing. We moved into a new building maybe 3 years ago, and it's about 21,000 square feet right on the freeway.
Wait, 21,000?
Yeah.
A lot of cleaning supplies there.
It's got a whole lot of vans.
So, a lot of vans, too.
Yeah, a lot of people going in and out. You know, we do different services from cleaning carpets to air duct cleaning and hard surfaces. So, and we have different crews, commercial carpet cleaning, to do different things, and they're in the building at different times. So there's just a lot of different spots where the business is now than where it was then. It was very, simple. It was just me. Not a lot could go wrong.
Right.
But also it was limited. The scope, the impact was smaller.
Sure.
So, even now the ability for us to go and do jobs that we don't charge for or working on big projects with a nonprofit, we can send,
a couple crews.
Yeah, send a bunch of people all at the same time and knock something out that would have took me days to do alone. So, there's lots of benefits on that end.
We started FabBeam in 2010.
Okay.
And a partner and I, Sean Swamby. Sean owns a really successful company in Post Falls, Idaho that a lot of people don't know
I've heard of that. It's called Post Falls.
Post Falls. Well, that you've heard of, right.
Yeah.
It's called Ednetics. And he did this. It's a great story. Sean had built this company called Ednetics in Post Falls, Idaho, and basically focused on the education market with switches, routers, computers, Wi-Fi. And he and I had met each other 20 years ago, and we had recently gotten back together. Well, that was in 2010. He said, Greg, I don't know what you're going to build next, but if we could build a company that could deliver fiber optic networks in what I would call tier 2 and 3 markets,
The Yakima. Not the metropolitan areas.
Right, because I essentially have already done that. I built Spokane twice with Nexlink and some other companies, and so if we could build Bend, Oregon and Yakima and,
was one of your first questions, is there money there? Because when you start getting out in the rural areas and so forth, you don't have the concentration of
absolute
number of clients and customers and so forth.
That's a really good point, because when you're building fiber and it's $100,000 a mile for underground, you need to have some revenue to back that
you
up
think?
And support it.
Yeah.
Or you won't be doing it very long. The beauty
And is of, that the direction most people want it underground now?
You know, it's preferred. I mean, look, if, for you and I, living in a neighborhood, we would like it underground rather than to see those ugly poles. But to give you a difference of dollar in the dollars, it's $50,000 to build fiber optics on a pole.
Right.
Aerial.
Uh-huh. And twice that.
Twice that underground. Yeah. So that's many of the reasons why it's not done.
So you've seen us here on Fox 28 Saturday mornings. But did you know we're also online? Check us out anytime on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and SpokaneTalksMedia.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
Spokane Talks is about you. Give us your feedback and comments at info@SpokaneTalksMedia.com. Spokane Talks is everywhere you are. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and SpokaneTalksMedia.com. Spokane Talks is brought to you in part by Rada Paint and River Ridge Hardware. We'll be back next week with the latest news, views, and conversation. Please join us.